May the Lord indeed be gracious and merciful to us as we come into this portion of his word, and may his spirit be pleased to apply it to our hearts and lives in a way that honors and glorifies him. When I was asked if I would serve as interim moderator, I was certainly anxious, desirous of doing that. I've really appreciated the numbers of times that I've been able to be with this congregation. I appreciate the love that you extend one to another and to those who come to minister with you and to you. And then I learned that we were going to be assigned passages from Matthew to preach. Well, so that means I need to work a new sermon, which is something that I retired because it was getting rather difficult to do two sermons every Lord's Day. And I recognized that. And then when I saw the passage that I was to preach for this Lord's Day and came to realize that we would have a baptism and the Lord's Supper, I said, what? What? What does Matthew chapter 7 6 through 12 have to do with the Lord's Supper? And after saying that to, I don't know how many people, pray for me, I finally opened up a commentary, and wouldn't you know, the very first commentary I opened up says, you know, this passage in the first century and the early centuries of the church was a very important passage for the Lord's Supper. I said, thank you, Lord. What an encouragement that was. And so listen carefully as I read for us Matthew chapter 7 and verses 6 through 12. I'll be reading from the English Standard Version. I admit that I wrote my notes in this version, and so I'm sorry. I think you'll see at least one place where there is a significant difference, and I almost was ready to go ahead and use the New King James. Hear now the word of God from Matthew chapter 7 and verses 6 through 12. Do not give dogs what is holy, and do not throw your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and turn to attack you. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find, and it will be open to you. Knock, and it will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. For which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him? Now my version says so. Yours says therefore. Therefore, whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Amen. When Daniel Howe was preaching through the Gospel of Matthew, a minister in Providence, Rhode Island, and he came to this seventh chapter, he decided to preach the first six verses, and I really like the title. The title was Logs, Dogs, and Hogs. And in a sense, it would be nice to take those first six verses and talk about the logs and the dogs and the hogs. But this morning, We're going to talk about the dogs and the hogs. And then we're going to talk about what we know as the golden rule. And we'll deal with verses 7 through 11 this evening, Lord willing. So as Elder Vince said, if you want to hear, as Paul Harvey would say, the rest of the story, come this evening about what it is to persist in prayer. Do not give dogs what is holy. Dogs. My children always wanted a dog. And my parents did not think children should have dogs. And so I was not raised with dogs. But I have many friends who had dogs. And one of my best friends with whom I often walked to school, I would go to his house and his little, you know, wiener dog. And I remember sitting at the breakfast table and reaching down to pet that little, and it bit me. Then walking to school, there was a girl who lived in a house along the way, and I kind of liked her. And I remember walking up toward the front door, and this huge 9-foot collie dog, no, I was just a child, came lunging down the stairs at me. Dogs. But you see, in this context, the Jewish people, the covenant people of God, didn't have dogs as pets. In this context, dogs were wild animals, scavengers, who went around looking for food and would obtain it however they needed to obtain it. They were vicious animals. And no well-meaning member of the covenant community would take anything that was holy, particularly meat that had been offered to the Lord, that sacrifice, you know, that they had to offer for the forgiveness of their sins. In that old administration of the covenant of grace, is they have to take that animal and they have to have an animal slain so that they would understand without the shedding of blood there would be no remission of sin. You wouldn't take that holy meat set apart to the Lord and throw it to dogs. You just wouldn't do that. And of course, for the Jew, you and I, unless you're Jewish, were known as dogs. To the Jews, the Gentiles were dogs. And the Jews would not give that which was holy to dogs. It was unthinkable. And then he speaks about hogs. Pigs, they were unclean animals. You understand, a Jew would have absolutely nothing to do with pigs. There would not be any pig farmers in Israel. Was forbidden by God. And so you don't throw to a pig a pearl. It's not even edible. Why would you give a pig a pearl? But biblically speaking, what is the pearl? pearl of great price. The treasure that Jesus encourages us to sell everything for and go buy it. The pearl of great price is the gospel message of salvation. You don't give the gospel message of salvation to a pig, because a pig doesn't want to hear it. A pig doesn't want to ingest a pearl. It's not food in the eyes of a pig. And so Jesus is saying, oh, and by the way, Gentiles were understood to be pigs by the Jews. And so, you see, for you and for me, the Jew was being taught verboten, forbidden. These are not the kind of people you're to have fellowship with. And you see, this is how it then plays its way into coming to the Lord's table. Because you see, with the coming of Jesus and his fulfilling the old administration of the covenant of grace and his inauguration of the new covenant established in his blood, that new covenant established in his blood meant that the covenant people of God, the Jews who embraced him, were no longer of the mindset, we're to stay here, and the Gentiles would come to us. Now they had the commission from Jesus to take that word to the dogs, to the hogs. And as they would take that word to the dogs and the hogs, they would begin to see how the gospel is God's powerful way to bring people from being dogs and hogs to the Israelites of God, to the disciples of Jesus Christ, to become the new administration of the covenant of grace, the church. And so I want us first of all to understand, if we are in Christ today, because the gospel resonated with your heart and mind and soul and might and body and all that you are, that you were a despicable dog and hog who by the grace of God had that dog heart, had that hog heart taken out, and a heart of flesh put in, so that you heard the gospel that Jesus Christ died for you, and that you understood he died for you while you were yet a dog, a hog, while you were wild and running around finding food wherever you could that satisfied you. And let's face it, when we are born into this world, we're born dead in our trespasses and sin. We're born into this world, I want what I want when I want it. And I will satisfy the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life however I'm able. And some of you perhaps remember when you acted like a pig. You heard the gospel and you went, and you probably even ridiculed the one who told you the gospel. And you were ready to trample that messenger underfoot. Some of you, praise the Lord, as Klaus, were baptized and you scratch your head and you can't understand how anybody would have been a dog or a hog. Because as a covenant child, you heard the gospel, you understood the gospel, and you were believing that Jesus died for you. And you were doing their best to live a life of obedience. And I trust you began to connect that obedience in your life to your baptism. That the reason you're being obedient and wanting to be obedient is not to make your way to heaven, but because you've been born again by the grace of God to desire to live obedient lives. Because Jesus loves you and you love him and you show your love for him by keeping his commandments. And they're not grievous. They're not burdensome. They're not onerous. You delight in his law. It's your meditation day and night. This is what God's grace has done in your life. And you don't have a Pauline conversion. But you've walked with the Lord because of how he has made his love real in your life. And so as we look at one another, as we discern the body of Christ, we want to understand how, by the grace of God, we who were dogs and hogs have been brought together to be sons and daughters of our Father in heaven, brothers and sisters of Jesus Christ. And so we're concerned as we observe each other Monday through Saturday. If we don't see each other walking in that narrow way that leads to everlasting life, we know what it's like to go and talk with that brother or sister who is walking off the path. We know how to talk to that friend of ours that we love to play with when we're together in church gatherings, and that friend of ours starts talking in a way they shouldn't talk, or encourages us to do something we know we shouldn't do. We know how to talk to that person and say, do you remember what Jesus has done for you? Do you remember how Jesus laid down his life for you? Do you remember how Jesus paid the penalty for your sin? Why are you doing this? Why are you saying this? Why are you encouraging this? Don't you understand? This is not who you are. In Jesus Christ. So we come together at the table discerning the body of Christ, the covenant community. And then he gives us that 12th verse, that rule of gold. Therefore, whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. You know, this has been used over and over and over and over again during the pandemic, hasn't it? And it's almost always been used by those who are persuaded we need to wear a mask. The brothers and sisters who have talked with me about as forceful as I've ever been talked with about this issue inevitably would say, if you really love me, you will wear a mask. Have you heard that? And have you put a mask on? I hope so. I hope so. And then as you've had opportunity to interact with that person, if you are bent as I've been bent after about 3 or 4 months to begin to question mask wearing, and you begin to talk to the person about why you're questioning mask wearing, generally the response is, why are you questioning this? And when evidence is presented for questioning it, that evidence is not accepted. And so I have a choice. I would rather you not wear a mask. You see how I put it? I would rather you not wear a mask because I don't see the importance of wearing a mask. So you see, so whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. You see, the verse is not a verse that I'm allowed to use at the end of the day to justify my wants. That makes sense. When one of my children would come up to me and say, I was hit by, and so I hit him back. I'm justified. I mean, the golden rule says, do unto others as you'd have them do to me. So I was hit by that person, and obviously that person wants me to hit him back. And I said, so what did you do when they hit you back? Well, I came and told you. Dad, tell them to stop hitting me. Wait a minute. Let me understand this. You believe you had the right to hit your brother or sister because your brother or sister hit you, right? Yeah. They did to me what they wanted me to do to them. But you see, when you hit them back, what were you saying? Let's keep the fight going. You get it? You get it? If somebody hits you and you want to get into a boxing match, hit them back. But if somebody hits you and you don't want to get into a boxing match, do you remember what Jesus said? Turn the other cheek. Now, I'm not sure my name Bogenstoss could mean a punch in the cheek. I would rather it be this cheek as I'm running away than this cheek as I'm standing in front of them. Because you see, as if I withdraw from the fight, there's not going to be a fight. And so when we have these conversations about, I don't understand why we must, I understand why we must, how are we going to get along? Are we truly going to respect one another's understanding? If by faith I'm to do this, if by faith I'm to do this, if in Christ I'm to do this, if in Christ, if I do this in Christ, it's fine, but I don't see how doing this in Christ is right. And so for me to do this would be sin. Because whatsoever is not done in faith, that is, whatsoever is not done out of a loving, faithful obedience to our Savior who loved us and gave himself for us, that's sin. You understand? The good things that I do, if I don't do them out of a love for Jesus Christ first and foremost, it's sin. So if I look at CDC, it says make sure you're 6 feet apart. And when you read the fine print, you might not need to wear a mask. So if there's a mask wearer, I'm going to make sure I'm 6 feet from them. If I'm not a mask wearer. And because I have hearing aids, if I can't quite understand them with the mask on, I'll let them go and ask them, if I get this far away or this far away, if you're comfortable, go ahead and lift the mask so I can hear you better. But do you understand what it is to practice the golden rule? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you works both ways. The others are to do to me what they prefer done to them. And this fulfills the law and the prophets. One of Matthew's favorite phrases, the law and the prophets. Unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you are not fulfilling the law and the prophets. Our lives are to be lived out of the righteousness that we have in Jesus Christ. And when we have a difference of opinions, we must approach that difference of opinions at least on the basis of the golden rule. I need to understand why you are thinking the way you're thinking and honor that. Affirm that. Because that's exactly what I want you to do with me. Is honor my understanding. And then we can walk arm in arm, and if it means having to wear a mask, then I'll wear a mask so I can walk arm in arm. And so you see, with that, we come to the table of the Lord. Because we love each other in Christ Jesus, and we come together in that love to this meal, and we enjoy the meal together. Amen.